D-H-Z, go! I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z, know what's popping in the field.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Yes, we do. It's pumping. That we know is pumping on the field. Yes, and B-Boys. I wonder if you know Shaggy.
I love this podcast.
All right, so because I'm wondering if, since we didn't record last week because Monday was had an engagement and then Thursday was Thanksgiving,
yep.
Does that mean that last week's game didn't happen and we really like at 500 now? It kind of feels like that. Like if that week just didn't happen.
If only, Dave, if only.
If that week didn't happen, the Carolina, and I know if and all that other skiffs and all those things you'll tell me, Tomas, I cannot help if we could have just went 500. I feel good about this team. I said it last week. I said they're going on a run after the loss to Denver, and they didn't do it. And so here we are. I mean we are a good team. And I'm gonna hang on to what I said earlier. All season, not this year, next year. But I mean, if we somehow, it's just we're not consistent enough to win five games in a row. But if we somehow can get in the playoffs, nobody's gonna want to play this team. I mean, we are getting better on defense. In so many different areas. I mean, Ellerbe is a difference maker.
Yeah.
I thought he was good, and I know he was the best of a very average to below average linebacking group. But, I mean, he is a playmaker.
No, he's legit.
He's legit.
Ellerbe is legit.
Robertson, who I now call Robinson Turtson, just to make sure I cover all my bases. I mean, he is playing outstanding football. You now have – You have a little beach ball.
Yeah.
Rankins. I mean, he says, look, man, you go and make that play.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the same play, you know, the mirror image play.
Yeah, people compare me to you, Donald.
That's right. He's a big Trump fan, and everybody's – what? Oh, okay, I got him confused. But let's see. Then you have Bro back, and while you didn't hear a whole bunch from him yesterday, that's generally when you're doing a good job as a corner, they're not going to go after you a whole bunch.
Right.
You know, Vaccaro – is playing great football, and I'm a little worried about when the axe is going to fall on him. And then offensively, I mean, moving the ball against, what was that, the best defense? I didn't realize it going into the game. I mean, if they're not the best, at least ranked
they're
the best.
One
of the top four or five defenses in the league, man.
Yep.
All right, good show, guys. Let's I mean, I'm throwing.
That's all we got.
I'm throwing y'all some softballs here. Feel free to join in.
Hey, I've at least said a few words here and there. Tomas has got that.
I'm just gonna say to you guys, say one of the best defenses. And one of the articles that came out, if you went and read the Rams pages online, which I did, you know, they had their linebacker came out and said, hey, you know, when we're effing on it, nobody can beat us. And I was like, dude, you just got 49 points scored against you. What are you talking about?
Yeah, when we're on it, yeah.
And then some other people are like, you know, well, don't worry about it because Detroit next week is going to come in and show the Saints. They have a real defense. The Saints aren't going to be scoring all those points. And I'm like,
who said that?
Some guy from Detroit.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, okay.
No offense, Gary.
Do you not know that the Saints are the number one ranked offense in the NFL right now? We're not talking about the end of the season. We're not talking about making up points when they're way behind.
Yeah.
They're legitimately now. Then I had some other people talking about, well, you know, this defense that the Saints have is just a look. I'm saving my good numbers here for our good, bad, and ugly. So on the defense, but yes, the defense is much improved. Yes, Bro, you don't hear his name is because he's doing his job,
right?
You know, but then it becomes kind of obvious. And again, this is one of my good, bad, and the ugly. You know, kind of obvious what else we have on the team when the standouts, when you have a ranking on the line. And a Cam Jordan, and you have a Bro, and you have an Ellerbe, and you have a Vaccaro. Okay, well, you just named all the players that can actually play on defense.
Right.
You know, the other guys, although I will say Fairley, is definitely going to be back on a team as well.
Well, you hope so, I think his contract keeps getting bigger by the week.
I don't doubt that, but I'm thinking it's going to be, it's just my thought, but I'm thinking that he's going to say, I don't want to play with a loser. at this point in my career, if the Saints are going to continue to make a push for next year, I think I want to be a Saint if I got a chance for a ring.
I mean, I definitely see that team, that players will be like, hey, man, these guys have a chance to do something next year. Yep. I want to get on board with them. So, you know, if
well,
they see the needle
pointing
calling,
you know. Yeah.
And there's other, obviously there are other guys who are like, I really don't care. I want the money. You know,
that's true. Well, I mean, Cleveland, I'm sure, will come calling.
Yeah, Cleveland will come calling. You go play for them.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's take a quick look at the rankings for our Pick'em League. I know it's been ugly. So, we got three guys. Let's see, man. I got to get this, my eyes.
I know I dropped way down because I didn't pick the first three games.
You know, I was getting right there.
I didn't either.
Spot.
I did the same thing.
I forgot.
Thing.
Yep. Because we didn't do the show.
I did it, and I still have no excuse. No. I have no excuse. I'm slipping now. Kind of might be out of striking range. But O-R-I-O-N. Help me. What is that?
Orion.
Orion?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. All right. Well, it don't look right. Anyway, Brooks. Bless you boys, all 11. Then you got Breezes Christ. That name comes up quite a bit. And Hit Squad have 10. Then with 9, you have quite a few people there from Scary Cats, Texas Who Dat, our buddy The Year of the Lion. Matter of fact, we have to have a word with him this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Gary's it's on.
Gary's been waiting for this. He made a little comment to me on Sunday, I think it was, or maybe it was. Maybe it's Friday. I'm from the holidays. I'm confused. I don't know what day's which. I mean, I don't even know what to say. Lil Dice making a move at 9. Like, nice to see him back at the top. Big Bama. You know what's disappointing is that the issues and you know, I've been making empty promises. I sound like a politician now to get that, find out what's going on with the hotline. And I really enjoy the hotline. We were getting it going. We were getting 4, 5, 6 calls a week. And I still haven't checked
into
it.
You killed it, Dave.
Yeah, so Lil Dice was a weekly participant, and so I'm sorry to disappoint all you guys, but I'm going to work on that. I have it on my to-do list, so I'll get to that right away. And then sack for a loss. And so overall, we have at the top there, let's see, Saints Cool 13. Sorry, I'm a little under the weather. Look, Lil Dice right there making his move, and let's see here. We got Javelin, DTC All-Stars, Red Gym, Bless You Boys, Year of the Lion, Waymer, and Aries 39, and then Scary Cats round out the top 10. So I noticed there's a bunch of people that dropped out. I guess they just figured there wasn't a chance on it, so they just went ahead and moved on. So, but the Pick'em League, $100 on the line. And we're getting down to the nitty-gritty of it, I guess we...
Now, we know you can't win, but Heath and I, you know, we still...
I don't know, right, man. Yeah. We have to write bylaws. Yeah. They're trying to change the rules
I
on
mean,
you.
We're not the hosts. We just participants.
Yeah.
Just along for the ride, huh?
That's right.
Yeah, that's what they say when there's money involved, but
that's
any
right.
other
that's
time...
Right. That's right.
Yeah. All right, so anyway, I guess it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy. Now it's time for the BS&B, good, bad, and ugly.
I tell you, that's a hell of a Clint Eastwood right
I
there.
I thought it was
buddy.
Batman. Okay.
All right. That's how they treat you right there. You go and you make something nice for them. They don't even appreciate it. Do them a little segment intro.
Yeah, okay. Upset.
I found that one place on the internet, though. I get somebody else to put the dude who wanted to do the Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yeah.
They're charging too much money, so I had to do my own. So, anyway. All right, good and bad and ugly. I guess we start with the good. Who wants to go first? Not everybody wants.
Yeah. Everything?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of stuff.
So many for good this week. I don't even know where to start. Why don't you go ahead and start, Tomas? You look like you're itching to say something.
Yeah, you're itching.
Well, I told you I was saving, you know, what I had. The good. All right, well, I can tell you the good. The good is the defense. Right. Now,
you see, I like you didn't go with the low-hanging fruit. Okay.
All right, the defense. I'm going to give you numbers. Get ready for the numbers.
All right.
Right now, the New Orleans Saints defense is the 26th ranked defense in the league. We're no longer 32. We're not even in the 30s now. We're in the 20s now, 26.
All right.
Okay. And they are the 12th ranked defense against the run.
Nice. I can see it.
Yeah. I don't see it.
So when you look at that and then you go back, you know, and you think, man, you know, what's happening? Now, the coach said that we got a lot of help, people turn getting back healthy. You got Rankin. We saw him playing yesterday, man. There's no doubt you know, that he's a player.
Yeah.
We already know Bro is a player. He's back. You know, and now you suddenly have somebody on the defensive line that can allow Cam Jordan, who's been consistent all the time, but, you know, when he's the only stud on the line and you got double, triple team. I forgot to turn on my phone.
That's lovely.
And, you know, so it makes it difficult for him to really get there, and yet he is getting there. So,
oh yeah, because now you got. I mean, now you have with Rankins, with Fairley.
Yeah, yeah. Fairley's coming on.
Now you got. Who are you gonna pick your poison?
You know, and then you have Ellerby at Kroger. Linebacker.
What'd you say?
Kroger. You said pick my poison. There it is.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I said yesterday. I can't repeat it on the air about Kroger, but okay. you know, but you have Ellerby, who's definitely when he's healthy. He's the best linebacker we have and have had for a while.
He's one of the best players on the team.
Robertson. Statistically, I want you to know that Robertson is like number two in the league in tackles.
Yeah.
So you start looking at the defense and you start saying, well, hold on a second. You know, they're really coming on at the time that they need to come on. So there's the good for me. And, of course, Vaccaro, who, by the way, I'm going to make this speculation out there. The NFL totally screwed up with what they were doing, investigating his use of the
Adderall.
Adderall. Yeah. And, you know, he went and did a second specimen. See, so he put it nicely.
Yeah.
But I think what's going to happen is the league is probably going to not even bother. Because I think the leagues are probably going to tell him, hey, we're going to check you again later. Make sure you know, because they screwed everything up. Because his attorneys are going to crucify them for letting it out before it happened.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so.
HIPAA.
Yeah. So I think that that's probably a done deal, thank goodness for us. And I think Vaccaro's going to be playing. So, to me, the defense, and you can see the numbers, are improving. Second half, what I like the most, again, the defense, adjustments. They are making adjustments going into the second half. The thing that really bothered me before was that we never would make adjustments. It would seem like we didn't make adjustments. Okay. Now, we come out in the second half, we're closing them down even better on defense. So, there you go. There's my good.
Okay,
definitely.
Gentlemen,
you gotta look at Mark Ingram. I think that maybe we're gonna club him with a frying pan before or during or after every game.
Yeah,
because apparently he gets lit up.
Last four games since they sat him down, he's running over 100 yards a game.
It's on fuego,
you know, and he's playing like an angry running back.
Yeah, if we can get his wife to get do like I just told you about that doctor doing.
Yeah.
Just tell him the wrong thing, get the wrong.
Let him beat his ass.
Crack it.
But like I told you, I'm willing to pay for the ball peen hammer.
Maybe
what
golf
it takes
club.
Is a concussion every week.
Yeah. And I mean, he's playing like a beast. Let's see. Obviously, Thomas played extremely well.
Yeah.
I had him, by the way, on my bench in fantasy.
Well, there you go.
Very good.
And even Snead with a big play. I mean, you know, like I said,
the Willie Wankle.
You went to the offense, and I'm like, you got to give your mentions to the low hanging fruit. You know, Drew Brees.
Yeah.
And again, take all of this into consideration. We're playing one of the top ranked defenses, so not only did we play extremely well, we did it against one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah.
So
that's
to me,
not what the people of Detroit are saying.
Well, you know, listen, those guys in Detroit at this point, I'm not sure they really know exactly how to act about
that. Was some Greg winning. Williams revenge yesterday.
Man, okay, how about that?
Yeah.
I mean, I've not seen Peyton this animated.
No.
I mean, he's over there dancing and
he's skipping down the sideline doing the first down thing with the two hands and all this stuff.
If you would be wondering if it really meant something, like if that was a big deal, or I can't wait until years from now when a book gets written and tells all the stuff that went on behind the scenes, because I never really thought it to be Greg Williams against the Saints. I'm not saying that I didn't think that Greg Williams did something, and there was a lot of the Saints that were like, God, I didn't know he was doing that, or he shouldn't have been doing it. But not like, oh, I hate you now. Yeah. Because he was obvious. There was obviously animosity.
Yeah.
It was obviously, and to my knowledge, and I know this has been a while now, and you know how my memory is, did Greg Williams throw any of the Saints under the bus?
Now, that's what I was going to tell you. Think about it this way. They said that he was a defensive coordinator and that he was involved in this bounty gate. He was in charge of making up the collecting the bucks and dispersing the bucks. Okay. He got the same one-year suspension that Sean Payton did. And Sean Payton, they said, well, he should have known as the head coach, which is the reason that supposedly
so he wasn't directly involved in it. And
yet the guy was involved. So now you go back and you start thinking about it, like, well, how did he only get 1 year?
Was it only 1 year?
That's all he got.
Wow, because when he came out, it was indefinite. Yeah, it definitely turned out to be 1 year.
It turned out to be 1 year.
So it sounds like these unlimited cell phone plans, huh?
Right. That's right. That's right. That's right. So to me, I'd have to go back. I can't remember really all that much. I do remember, though, that there were several Saints players, Vilma being one of them,
sure,
who was bent out of shape about the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, because he felt that.
Yeah, but
they got
it
wrong.
It was because the media was saying that he was like one of the ringleaders and getting the story wrong.
Yes.
But where I'm going with this is I'm just saying, I still don't see where the direct animosity towards Williams. I could see you saying, man, he really screwed us up that year by doing that BS over there, but not something like if it had been like, oh no, Williams went and testified against.
I think he did.
I thought he
turned state's witness.
Yeah, right.
Kind of thing.
Oh, is that? See,
I think so. I'm not 100% sure, but
I
think
that's why
they
threw down so much. You know, the two second round draft choices, Peyton out for a year. I mean, if you think about it, we were at a point. The Saints were at a point that they could have easily won another Super Bowl.
Sure,
easily.
Yeah.
You know, but what turns out to be is that we don't go back now for 6 years, 7 years. You know, how long is it going to be? And then you only have a certain window with the people that you have.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, it's obvious. Our window's closed, and we're opening another one now.
Right, exactly.
So, and you just hope that window can stay open as long as Drew Brees can still maintain.
And again, if you're going to say good, like you were talking about the offense there, Brees, you know, it's like everybody takes him for granted. Another 300-yard game, another 4-touchdown game. I mean, the guy has set record upon record upon record. There are only two guys now in his category, Favre and Peyton Manning. That's it. He's ahead of everybody else that's out there. So, and you know he's going to, I believe he's going to play easily another 2-3 years. With the way he keeps himself in shape, with the way he plays, I mean.
No, you know what? I'll be the first to admit I was wrong on that because I'm just trying to be realistic. And I looked at it and said, look, he hasn't had any particular, but there were signs. You know, last 3 years he had the oblique, he had the foot, the plantar fascia. Uh-huh. And you start saying, oh, you know, it's coming, and you're like the fans that are like, no, he's gonna play for another 5 years at top level. And you're like, man, I hope he does. I've never pulled against him. It's just, you know, Father Time and all these injuries.
Yeah, but if you look
seem
at,
to be coming.
If you look at the injuries, Drew, if I have to say that Drew has a fault, here's the fault that I'm gonna say. He puts way too much pressure on himself thinking he has to carry the team. And if you look at all of those injuries, we didn't have that good an offensive line suddenly, and he's getting hit a lot more times. But at the same time, he's holding the ball longer because he wants to make a bigger play.
Sure.
He's trying to do other things. You know. So to me, now let's look at what we have now. We suddenly have a guy who can run the ball. We suddenly have a guy, you know, I'm not a Mark Ingram fan. He's hitting 100 yards, 100 yards, 100 yards. Well, that takes a lot of pressure. I can't remember the number now, and I saw it, but I can't remember now how many runs we had. We had over 30 runs. We had 72, 74 plays, and it was like almost 50% of them were runs.
32 runs.
Yeah. You know? So, I mean, for a Saints team, 32 runs?
32 runs, 37 attempts.
There you go.
And here's the difference, because I used to make this argument when people say, oh, we used to run the ball back in, you know, 9 and 10, 11. We would run the ball after we got huge leads. We didn't run the ball to as part of our offense early.
Right.
Yeah.
So the numbers were misleading to me. It's people like, look how we ran the ball. No, man, we scored like 36 points. Another team had 10, and we spent the third and the fourth quarter running the clock out.
Right.
Now we are running the ball early, and we are being a run-first type. Yeah. I don't know if run-first is a fair way to say it.
No,
but
it's
part of the arsenal.
It's more balanced. Balanced during the early parts of the game when you could say, hey, man, that running game is having an effect on the defense.
And again, I'm not an Ingram fan, but I have to give him kudos. I mean, he has really done a hell of a lot of work to make himself better. First 5 years as a Saint, no TDs with receptions. This year so far, 4 TDs reception wise.
Yeah.
So that tells you right there that brings an extra dimension to the offense.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday, and I even said a couple times, he's hitting the hole, where in the past, he's not been hitting the hole. So, and he knows the blocking scheme. He knows when he's staying in there, who he's got to pick up when they're blitzing or chipping or whatever happens to be. So you're looking at a completely different Mark Ingram today than 5 years ago. Yeah. And that has completely changed the offensive arsenal. That's the best word I can say. You know, when you've got three receivers who can catch the ball, you got two tight ends who can catch the ball, or maybe even, you know, and a fullback and two running backs. And, man, suddenly you're like, dude, you know, yesterday there were 10 receivers of balls from Breeze.
Yeah.
How can a defense stop anybody when it's not, okay, we only have to stop Antonio Brown. No, we only have to stop one guy. You know, when you have 10 guys, again, you know, this is part of the good. So, all right.
Well, only player with a higher passer rating yesterday than Drew Brees, Willie Snead.
There he
was one out of one for 50 yards and a touchdown.
He's on fire.
And he looked off the safety. Did you see that?
I saw that.
He's a high school quarterback.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back with the bad and ugly. Yeah.
Now from the makers of Camifed comes Camifloss. Camifloss.
Are you like me and enjoy fresh breath, clean teeth, and looking like a complete moron?
Camifloss.
Do you find yourself saying, I'd like to floss at a more inappropriate time, but how can I look more stupid?
Camifloss.
With Camifloss 14-gauge wire, you get to the hard-to-reach places of your goat or donkey teeth.
Camifloss.
So the next time you're sitting in a board meeting, the sidelines of an NFL game, or maybe the keynote speaker of a Pee Wee Herman dress-alike convention, you can reach for Camifloss. And even though you might look like a jackass, you don't have to feel like one.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, now to some bad and ugly. And speaking of bad and ugly, it didn't seem like Cam had much fun yesterday. I mean,
yeah.
They made a comeback, and it was really irritating because they were getting spanked.
Yeah.
And then Raiders quarterback went out, and then they made a little comeback.
Dislocated finger.
Yeah, did you see that? I felt the pain for him, man. But on top of that, though, I'm sorry. I know it hurts.
Well, he pulled a Cam. You know, he walked away from the play. The ball's laying on the ground.
Yeah, when it happened, I was like, what the hell's going on? Did they run the guard around? I mean, I thought he was carrying out a fake because he grabbed his hand and turned his back to it.
Yeah.
He didn't even bother going for the ball. He just pulled a Cam Newton right there. But I was just watching Cam, and I was just loving it. He was so angry and upset because, you know, he's such a competitor, man.
Yeah.
But they end up coming. I mean, they made it a game, but truth and justice prevailed.
That's right.
That's right. So, all right. You ready for some bad and ugly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
You are.
Tomas, start what you got.
All right. I'm going back again. Defense.
Defense.
So I'm talking good was the defense, and I'm talking the bad is the defense.
Okay.
And here's why I would say that. It became very obvious what I've said before. We've got players, and we've got basically placeholders.
Sure.
Okay.
Jags, just another
and
guy.
And when you see Bro play, and you said, well, they didn't say much about Bro. Right, because he pretty much closed down the guy he's covered. Webb, not so much. No, so you realize that Webb really isn't a starting corner.
He's not long for this team.
Though. No, right. But again, bless these are things heart. That you realize when you see these kinds of plays on defense. Bird. Now, I don't really know what Peyton still, I mean, they were chumming it up on the sidelines. I don't know. But you see a guy who takes every bad angle possible in the play.
Yeah.
And then plays the Toreador. Ole! When the guy gets close to him. You know, you don't see him put a hit like Vaccaro or Von Bell. You know, so it becomes obvious to me when you start looking at who we have as players. Offensively, we're not that far away, right? Offensively, a guard, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, really, a guard, and your offense is set. You know?
But defense, no. We got to pick up a few players on defense.
Sure.
You know, because Bird isn't doing it. Now, I would say this, because I'm still going to stay with my guys who I said were going to make the team, even if they're on the reserve squad there, whatever. Okay. I want to see how Crawley and how Devontae Harris come back next year after a year of working out and being fed the right food. Some, you know, bowls of gumbo to get them in the right place.
Weight training,
you know?
Yeah.
Because we definitely need to shore up the backfield. It's the front line, I don't have any problems with. Davidson, I think, continues to improve. When we get Kikaha back and maybe Guachum, I think we might solve that outside edge. Definitely, if we bring back Fairley and Rankins.
And Rankins. And, yeah. No, we set on
offensive line. I don't see a problem. It's linebacker.
Sure.
You know?
And you just can't trust Ellerbe You can't. No matter how good he is, I don't think you could go into season expecting
him.
If you're saying, hey, this is our last window of opportunity to win a Super Bowl, you cannot go
in
there.
But I think we feel pretty confident about Robertson.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know, I think he's an every down player. I think he's fine. But then we go to the other possibility. We need to bite the bullet and just say we screwed up with Stephon Anthony. You know,
well, it looks like they already have. I mean, they're not gonna. You're not gonna cut a guy in the second or third year. I mean,
well, no, you keep him for his contract because he's cheap in the contract.
Right, right, right.
You know, so he can always be a guy that you can use on special teams
and
bring him off
the
bench.
Maybe keep your fingers crossed, he becomes a late bloomer. You know,
doesn't look like it's going that way, but okay. But that means that we need a linebacker. You know, we definitely need another guy who's going to be able to come in and play like a Kuechly kind of guy. You know.
Oh, man.
So, that would be awesome.
Yeah. let's get us a Kuechly and a JJ.
We were talking about this
yesterday. If you're talking first-round draft choice, because you're not going to pick a guard for first-round draft choice.
No.
You know, so what's the position left that's going to be first-round draft choice?
Here's the thing.
It's going to be linebacker.
The way this is going, we're going to end up winning 8 games, you know, and we'll be
maybe
picking
more.
Right there, 16, 17, 18.
Right.
And you know, you never know. Linebacker is a position that's not very they don't generally get drafted unless they are just absolute
beasts, right.
Beast, pass rusher, all around. So you can get a guy.
A good guy.
16, 18, or whatever. Yeah. That's they're just not highly valued positions.
So that's my bet. My bet is that it becomes pretty obvious who the players are and who the players aren't.
Yeah.
Heath, got any ideas?
Well, for me, you know, I think the obvious, like you said, the low-hanging fruit, whether you want to call it the bad or the ugly, is the offensive turnover again on the 5-yard line or whatever it was, 10-yard line, whatever it was. You know, I mean, we talked about this, and I guess we probably decided it's a matter of mass and size, right? But Breeze has a high propensity to fumble a ball when he gets hit like that.
We talked about it during the game. It's like I don't blame him. At the end of the day, when Cam Newton gets hit, you know, he doesn't hardly move a whole bunch. You can get hit by a 250-pound linebacker. And when Breeze gets hit, there's a lot of stuff flying and flailing.
And it was ugly,
I mean?
Too. I mean,
he got tattooed.
Other than that, you know, and so set the Rams up in good position again. And we talked about this. It was something that we had a big problem with last year. And, you know, so what they scored 21 points, right? They never did.
So
that was 7 of it right there, and the other 2 were actual. I know the first drive, obviously, was, you know. But, yeah, so anyway, that's it.
With me, I don't know. And I mean, I noticed it a little bit yesterday, but today it was made aware, it was made obvious on several different sites that Cooks, not only did he not have any receptions, he didn't even get targeted. And he sent out a tweet today. Just saying, you know, obviously he's a little – and these cryptic messages that they send, I don't even know – you know, everybody tries to decipher them. At the end of the day, the guy has no targets. I mean, it's one thing to have no catches.
Right.
It's another to have no targets. And then he's like – he said something about they say this is a business, so maybe I need to start treating it like a business. And, you know, to me, Cooks is one of the good guys, and when I hear him start saying that, I'm like, man, I hate the guy that goes from like, man, I play this game for the passion and the, say, well, you know what, I'm gonna start being like, and then you're like, oh God, what does that mean? I don't know, and I haven't heard. Is it a disciplinary thing? You know, I mean, because you know, Breeze kind of pulls the trigger on that whole thing, whether or not he's gonna go in that direction. Was it just hey, and it has been in many years past. There, it's generally in the Saints' offense, it's never the same guy.
Yeah,
you know, there's some guys who get the ball more than the others. Jimmy Graham got the ball more than everybody else. Colson got the ball a lot. But there'd be games where, you know, Moore was the big receiver today.
Right.
Then next is Bush. Reggie Bush got, you know, 12 receptions in this game because that's where they were attacking, which means other guys didn't get as many. But I'm not sure why he didn't get any receptions, and I'm a little nervous or worried that, you know, hopefully it was just a game where he didn't get a lot of looks. But that tweet – that he sent out.
Yeah.
Well, I can see your point about the tweet, but I'm gonna say this to you. Defenses watch video. And what makes you think that the Rams didn't say, we're going to close one guy
down? Take this guy out of the game.
This guy's going to be out of the game. And when Breeze, being the quarterback that he is, looks over there and says, I can't throw over there, he's just not going to throw over there. And after a while, he's going to say, man, I'm gonna, you know, it's gonna be my third read. It's not gonna be my first read anymore. I'm gonna call a different play.
Right.
So I don't put a lot into that, simply because you know that Archer can play. You know that, you know, he can.
Oh, the archer. I was like, who? Yeah, the archer. Yeah, I like it.
So you know that Coos can play. So to me, yeah, I'm a little leery of Buck because I saw that tweet too because I follow him and I had that same tweet. Treat it like a business. Well, I don't really know what that means, but I don't think he was in a doghouse because otherwise he wouldn't have played at all.
And he just don't strike me as a doghouse kind of guy.
No.
He strikes me as guys is create enough goodwill that if he had a bad day, coaches would be like, hey, bro, what's going on, man? Like, man, you know, or whatever, and everything. Okay, and they'd hug and he'd be gone. Yeah. It's not like he's a troublemaker or someone. No.
But so I'm not going to give too much I'm not going to read too much into the tweet thing. And I'm going to say to you, look, that's the way it happens. I'm like, how many times have we seen where Snead, because, you know, I have these guys on fantasy. You all have some of these guys on fantasy. How many times have we seen where Snead got 0 points in fantasy because, you know, he might have been one time.
Like, I just don't look at Snead and Cooks being the same kind of. I do agree that if they're just like, look, the Rams are a good defense. They're like, we're going to roll coverage here. We're taking him out of the game.
Yeah.
And that's what opened up the other guys. But you would think I would be fine with that until I saw the tweet. And the tweet doesn't look like it. I mean, and he don't strike me as the type of player to just be like, you didn't throw me the ball today, so I'm mad.
Yeah.
It seems like, oh, you know, there's an issue.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to read into it, and I'm not trying to create an issue that's not there. I'm just saying common sense would tell you, why would he send that tweet out? He doesn't strike me as that type of player. He's never been a me guy. If it was, man, they are rolling triple coverage on me every time, and there's my boy Thomas killing it.
Yeah.
I'm happy for him. That's the kind of guy I think he is.
I would agree.
So that's the thing, and I'm sure more will probably come out about it later, or it'll probably be something where somebody pulls him aside, they give him a little man hug, and they're like, hey, bro, you know, no, man, it's all good. I'm sorry, we'll get that fixed. You know,
or Drew
fine.
Pulls him aside and says, hey, dude.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, if you're going to be part of not no man hug, just pull him aside and say, look, it is a business. You know, and you got to step up to the plate. If I'm looking over at you in your cover, you're not getting the ball. It's just that simple. And you should be happy that means that somebody else is open and we can get the ball to somebody else.
Right.
So, you know, and remember again, if you're not talking about a guy who's been in the league for 8 years and has a maturity of a you know.
What's he like, 17 now? I mean, he came in, I don't know, he just graduated from junior high.
Yeah.
So.
I'm just saying.
But he's probably, he's not 22, I don't believe. I think he's 22 maybe. I mean, so, you know, maybe it is just some maturity. I just, the way that it all played out, it makes me question it a little bit.
Yeah,
so that's my.
Well, let's hope we don't have a budding Terrell Owens or Dez Bryant or somebody in our hands here. He's going to start crying about not getting the ball.
All right. So now you want to do the last one?
You ready for some ugly?
The ugly?
The ugly?
I'm ready for the ugly. I hope you're ready for the ugly. Here's the ugly. Why the hell didn't we score more than 50 points? There's the ugly. The ugly to me is we weren't ugly enough to the former defensive coordinator of the New Orleans Saints.
You know, there was a point
we got
of the, game.
The 49, and I was like, dude,
you
let's
could
kind of
tell it was that drive there, and then they got the penalty, and it kind of took them out of it. But it kind of seemed
they
were heading there.
They were gonna.
I think so.
Just the way that Peyton was behaving.
Yeah. I was looking for
this. Like, he wanted to embarrass them.
I wanted a 50 bomb,
and it was coming. And then they got derailed with a penalty.
Yeah.
I don't exactly remember, but at that point, I think at that point I was starting to drink a little bit more, and I was celebrating.
Yeah.
Started the conversation. You happy?
Yeah.
Like, so hey, how's the wife doing?
Yeah,
you know,
and stop paying attention.
But we looked at each other. I'm like, he's gonna do it. He's gonna embarrass him.
Yeah, I really.
But it got derailed. So
I was looking for that. That was the ugly for me. We didn't get there.
Getting 50. Yeah. We still trying to name. I don't know what a 40 burger.
40 burger. 50 bomb.
50 bomb, and it was prison.
60 was the bamboozle.
50 prison-style butt raping is 60, bro. You get the 60, man. That's – I don't know, man. That's when you're over
in
Angola.
That's
sex in a cell block. Every night on the BS&B network right there. So, all right.
Hi, I'm Ricky Bobby, and I'm Cal Naughton Jr. We like to have a lot of laughs on the racetrack, but today we want to talk about something serious.
The NFC South, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Carolina Panthers.
All right, time for some NFC talk, NFC South talk. Man, I'm disappointed. Someone had written a post on one of the many message boards that I take a look at. And they were kind of outlining what it would take for the Saints to make to win the division, make the playoffs, and it's still possible.
Beat Tampa twice and Atlanta once. That's it. We're done.
There's more to it. I mean,
we need another game from Atlanta.
So, but the thing about it is, they also said, well, the NFC South doesn't have an easy road. And they named all the teams that everybody was playing with. Tampa Bay was playing. Atlanta was playing Arizona. Tampa Bay ended up beating
Seattle.
Seattle.
Yeah.
So if you look at it on paper, you're like, hey, man, that, they got a tough road to hoe right there.
Yeah.
But Carolina ends up losing. But really, it's Atlanta that you need to lose another game. So, and then Tampa Bay, it's not that you necessarily need them to lose because you can completely control your destiny because you play them twice. Having said that, at some point, you're looking at a team that just beat the brakes off of somebody and then, you know, beats Seattle. They played good, a good game. You start saying, man, that's not going to be easy out.
No.
So all of a sudden, Tampa Bay starts looking like a formidable team that you have to, that it's going to be hard to beat them twice.
Yeah.
You
know, it was interesting. You brought it up yesterday. This is one of those things I, you know, can't say that I've really been paying close attention to the standings. But coming into it, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, we got to make up two games on Atlanta. Until you pointed out to me that we were only one game behind the wild card.
Right.
Because I had in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, NFC South, wild card's not coming from this division.
Right.
And then you look in, what is it, Minnesota and somebody else, I think, is it 6-5?
The Giants.
Yeah.
The Giants are
well,
pretty,
no, the Giants are
pretty
eight
good lead.
Three.
They can, they're behind the Cowboys, so that,
the first,
you're looking at one wild card.
So we're one game out of that last wild card spot.
From Minnesota and I think somebody else. Somebody else 6-5? I think there's another team.
Tampa Bay 6-5.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Tampa Bay 6-5.
And so
everybody else is 4.
Right. So you don't necessarily have to catch Atlanta at this point, depending on what happens in these other divisions. But certainly now, you know, we're behind two teams, obviously. So
yeah.
Now we have two games still left to go against Tampa, right?
Yes.
Obviously, we control more of our own destiny from that perspective with them. But we still do have Atlanta one more time
anyway. We have Atlanta, albeit at their place. Mm-hmm. But Atlanta lost Trufant. That's going to make life a little bit easier on their, you know, playing them. You know, I mean, isn't he one of the better cornerbacks in the league?
No, yeah, no. He's a good player, but, boy, it sure didn't affect him yesterday.
No, it
I mean,
didn't.
It's
and
like,
that's the
know?
Thing. Well, you know, just think about in 09 when we won, we beat New England. And we beat them with, I mean, God, I can't remember these guys' names. The corner. I mean, we got corners off the street.
Yeah.
And
McKenzie.
And then we also got that other guy that used to be
great.
The Baltimore.
Well, McKenzie was pretty good.
The Baltimore Ravens. But now, keep in mind, I don't remember the detail too long ago, but McKenzie wasn't like on the team. They had brought him back, and he hadn't played ball in the whole season.
Yeah.
So, and the other guy, I can't remember, but he was an All-Pro from the Ravens, but he was another guy that, you know, like nobody wanted him, and we were like, hey, he had this big monster truck. I mean, it's like a.
I don't remember.
Anyway,
yeah, I'm trying to.
But
I
anyway, so we had two
it,
corners, and somehow or another, when you have things going, just like you can hide those deficiencies, just like, oh, we're going to go after that one guy, and they start steamrolling you, and you're like, shoot, we can't even. So,
yeah.
You're right. It didn't seem to affect them. Did anybody hear anything about Julio Jones? Any kind of injury?
He got hurt, and then he came back in the game.
Okay.
The guy that they did lose, though, was a defensive lineman, Adrian Claiborne.
Okay.
And he has an MCL. He's gone. So, he's a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the things that Atlanta was trying to improve was their pass rush.
Right.
Right.
So, and he's really a good player. So,
one of the things that I think that if you look at the how Atlanta seems to fail at the end of every season, and now I don't have any statistics, I don't have the numbers, but it seems off the top of my head that it correlates with Julio Jones getting hurt. Because, I mean, like, the only way you stop that guy is you have to focus your entire defense on him. And that makes everything easier for everybody else.
Yeah.
How do you stop this and how do you attack that? And then, so if he's not 100%, that's going to be huge. I don't know. Looking at the rest of the schedule, we're going to have to see how they're gonna fare the rest of the season because we need them to lose. All of it is still – right there, the problem is that we have to show some consistency. Win out. I mean, we have to win out. I mean, maybe there's still.
Who'd have thunk it? It's going to come down to winning. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, right? I mean, we've got to keep winning games, and whether you wind up catching Atlanta at the two games or whether you can just catch Tampa and Minnesota and those guys don't fare so well, and you get that wild, whatever it is. We got to take care of Ryan and keep winning.
I think we just have to look at it in the way they used to say as well. You know, one game at a time, and every game is a playoff game. I mean, that's the way they have to look at it. So we played Detroit this week coming up at home.
Yeah.
Okay, we take care of business with Detroit. Move on to the next one, Tampa Bay, you know, at home. So we take care of, is it Tampa Bay at home? No, Tampa Bay on the road.
Sorry. Yeah, on both.
Yeah, Tampa Bay at the road. Detroit's at home.
Yeah, but we play and Tampa then we Bay play, twice.
Right. So,
oh, you're talking, okay.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the schedule. Games, yeah.
I'm talking
it's
order.
Detroit, Tampa, Arizona, Tampa, and Atlanta. I know that's the order of the games. I just don't remember which Tampa is at home and which one right. is on the road. But I know Detroit's
the first
at home.
One is on the road.
Yeah, so Detroit's at home, then Tampa and Tampa, then Arizona and Arizona. Then we come back home and play Tampa, and then we play Atlanta and Atlanta. So we have three road games left and two home games left.
Right.
You know, so it's a very tough schedule. And I really tell you, I think Tampa Bay is the team to watch out for. Not so much, you know, Atlanta is Atlanta, but they have a few injuries they're going to have to watch out for. You know,
I'm really impressed with their little respect for Atlanta. I mean, I think,
yeah, I'm really impressed with their little running back that they picked up, who played yesterday, 5'5", and it was just speed.
They got him from Cleveland. They made a point during the highlights. They were like, "What about this guy? Is Cleveland's over there doing? He's not good enough."
Yeah.
So
Gabriel, right?
Yeah, Gabriel. He was flying.
So yeah, yeah. So it's just a tough road to hoe, you know.
Yeah.
But like I said, we just have to not. I hope they get tunnel vision and say, "Hey, you know, we can't worry about the other games. We have one game left, Detroit. Let's go out there and win that game. That game's over. Okay, great, fantastic. Let's go." You know what I was impressed with? Like, for example, the guy yesterday, Houston, for Kansas City, after the game.
He's a beast.
After the game, they were interviewing him. The woman interviewed him and said, "Well, you don't seem very excited." And he goes, "Got a long way to go yet. It's just one game."
Yeah.
And I was like, that's exactly the attitude the Saints have to have.
Right.
No, you know, okay, you got your win that you wanted to get against Brian Williams, you know.
Yeah.
Greg Williams, sorry, not Brian Williams. Greg Williams. Brian Williams is the guy that did that. But
yeah.
Greg Williams. Okay. Get that out of your system now, because now you have to be serious. You got five games. You still have a good shot at being a wild card. All right? Let's get one game at a time.
Right.
And let's see what happens.
Absolutely.
Well, it would help to have a Justin Houston.
Huh? No, man. Man. You know, quite
we
frankly,
need a Houston, a Von Miller.
That's what I'm saying to you. We need
a Mac. You know, one of these guys, watching these guys yesterday, man, it's like, man, this is just
a real
incredible players, man.
You know, or, you know, the way that we have our team set up right now, another, just one more, that right defensive end or a linebacker, somebody that, like, is just another Cam Jordan. Maybe he's not all world, but he's at the top of that second level.
Yeah.
You know, and then, I mean, because right now you're looking at, or there's some of these young guys, man. What if Onyemata? I mean, you know how raw this guy is, and I'm not saying he's dominating anything, but he's playing.
He's had some flashes,
and he's playing like a rookie, you know. And this is a guy who played Canadian football in college.
But look, he's getting time.
Yo,
it's not like he's not getting time in there, and he's doing an admirable job. Well, he's not, you know.
Well, that's the point I'm trying to make, is that he's playing as well as you would expect any rookie to play. You know, that this guy is so raw, and he's actually playing decent. And he's a rookie.
Yeah.
Imagine how much he's going to improve going into next year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're very well, maybe this is just me and my Saints, glasses on. I mean, I could see this guy all of a sudden popping up and being like another Cam Jordan. You know, he's big, he's strong, he's athletic. And then now you got both those ends occupied. Then you got Fairley and Rankins, and you got Davidson in there and rotating.
And that's why I'm saying you need a linebacker.
Back.
That's why you need a linebacker.
Absolutely.
And Guachum maybe. You know, so you need a linebacker. That's what you need.
Absolutely.
Like we were saying, I mean, look at these games yesterday. When you have one stud linebacker, it changes the whole complexity of the game.
Yeah.
You know? So imagine you get, well, like Denver. Got Ware on the corner and Miller on the other side. You know? That right there is a defense that can stack up with anybody.
Yeah.
So we do the same thing. We need to get a linebacker of that caliber. And that's why I'm thinking at this point, that's probably going
to be
It'd be
interesting to see, though, huh? Because the Saints really love that three safety set.
Yeah.
You know, and they use Vaccaro up there and kind of in that role.
But again, you got two guys in that safety set who may not be on the team next year.
Yeah.
Bird, and even though I like him, Harper, you know.
But Harper's not getting a lot of playing time right now. It's Bird
field,
and
yeah.
Bell and Vaccaro.
Yeah, but Bird's gone. Who are you going to replace him?
That's my one kid they seem to be pretty high on, the white kid that he got
Eric
injured.
Harris.
Yeah, Harris. Like, you know, I'd like to see what like to see
he's that kind of a linebacker safety.
Yeah, he was a linebacker in the Canadian League, so he's obviously a hitter, but then they had him at free safety. I thought for sure it's like, oh, he's a linebacker. Yeah. They put him in safety. Vaccaro, he must be strong safety.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's a free safety. And he did a lot of good stuff in training camp.
Oh, I know he did. I know he did.
And that three safety. Now, that's the thing is that Vaccaro is actually playing
the box
more like a linebacker.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, and because of his versatility, you get a linebacker that can cover. So as long as nobody can just pound us in a run game and force us out of that three safety look, that's a hell of a defense. You have to have the personnel to run it.
Right.
You know?
Right. And again, one more linebacker, and that defense is going to be great.
Right, right. So either way, a linebacker I do believe is a must get, and a guard. And I said this the other day, and I want to send out my props. Here's another good that I left out is Streif. I mean, this guy is quietly, and that's how you have to be as an offensive lineman, quiet. No, nobody hears his name.
Yeah.
And then I stop, and I've been down on him, and I stop and realize that he generally has pretty good grades, and you're like, well, why do I have such a bad impression? But in the last couple of years, he's had one or two games where he's gotten Breeze killed, whether it was his fault or not. But remember the game against the 49ers when the guy, like, stretched Breeze's neck out, you know, beat Streif last year? Or was it 2 years ago when the Tampa Bay and Breeze was out? And these are all Streif. But the thing is, he gave up that one play. Maybe it might have been, and I don't know, but maybe he gave up four plays all year is really bad. And the rest of the time, he was extremely consistent. But the plays resonate in your mind that, man, he needs to be replaced.
Right.
Now I'm sitting here worried. And I say this over and over and over again. Next year. Golly, I hope that, because, you know, he's not a spring chicken and he's not the most athletic guy. I hope he doesn't fall off a cliff. And just as soon as we're about to make a run, Streif can't handle it anymore. Yeah. So I don't think that's the case. But
but we got versatility in offensive line, so don't worry. You know, they'll swap a Pete can play that position as well. You know, right tackle, left tackle, left guard. The only thing I'm seeing him do is center, but I understand he's the backup field goal kicker, so don't worry.
I'm sure at some point
he might be a two-way player. You never know. You know,
well, we kind of touched on this a little bit yesterday. They activated Avery Young,
Young.
You know, brought him up from the what was it? He was on one of those
non-football injury
practice.
You know,
he didn't count either way. Yeah,
yeah, and so I don't know where he fits, if he fits more a guard or a tackle. But he's another guy to keep in mind that, you know, see what happens with him.
John Allen is still on the team.
Jack
Allen. He's still on the team.
Between me calling Peyton, Sean Payton, Peyton Manning, and you calling, it gets ugly sometimes.
Allen. And again, you know, maybe we talked a little bit about that at the beginning of the year that might be being groomed to be the next center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you just don't know at this point.
I think it was the Penn State Michigan State game the other day. I was watching, and they showed a play last year from where Jack Allen got a rushing touchdown. I think it was a rushing touchdown.
What?
Yeah. And I didn't realize his brother was also on the team. And I don't know if his name was John or
maybe that's why I get confused.
I can't remember where it was. Yeah, but anyway, they showed the play, and he gets the touchdown, and he comes running off the field, and his brother ran out there and stole the ball from. You know, they were just showing the clip from. Anyway, that was
Anyway, you have any final thoughts there, Tomas?
My final thought is that I still believe that the Saints can have a winning record this year. It's just a question of can they keep their mind on track and get the job done. And to quote Cooks, it's a business, so let's get down to business.
All right.
Yeah. Well, you know, we talked about this last week. You know, this was, the third year in a row we scratched back to 500 at 4-4 and then – dropped a couple of games, and then, you know, and we're still in that, you know, realm. I don't know but let's hope that they can finish out this season stronger and not limp to another 7-9, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the key because I keep beating that drum about next year.
Yeah.
You don't want to limp into next year. The reason I feel like next year and I feel like we're working towards that is because I'm seeing improvement everywhere.
Yes,
and what's funny is we all like, I made a couple of predictions. It was somewhere between 6-10 and 7-9, something around there. And, you know, and if they end up 7-9 from this point, I would be disappointed. Like, I keep expecting, and I made this last week and we end up losing to the Panthers, I keep expecting them to continue to get better, and with better means winning. But here's the thing. Sometimes when you have a team that's right on the edge, The difference is just the little things
right.
that stop them from winning games. Right. Like, you know, you look at Panthers. There were so many opportunities in that game. And then the one that's even worse is Denver. It's just you should never have lost that game. And it's just mistakes that right. they need to clean up. Right. They clean right. those mistakes up, and all of a sudden it's like right. completely different team.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we're not getting destroyed. We're not just going embarrassing ourselves. Every
There's absolutely no doubt that we're a better team. But this was something we talked about all the way back at the beginning of the season. We were playing a tougher schedule this year.
Yep.
So
yep.
you could be improved.
Right.
Depending on how much you were improved and mm-hmm. still not necessarily come out with that much better looking of a result.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I would love to see this team at least do better than 7-9, it would be really fantastic to see them actually be able to grab a wild card spot maybe. I still actually, and I know this could sound crazy considering what I just said, but they could possibly finish again at 7-9 and still have a whole hell of a lot better feeling about it than we had the last
sure.
few times they right, finished 7-9.
And I completely agree with that total record-wise, but right now we have 5 wins. We have 5 games left. We finished 7-9. You know, it's going to be hard.
2-3 across the last 5.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get
like,
it.
Like, I want to see us finish 4-1.
But it's
I mean,
a tough
I'd love to see us 5-0, but that.
Let's be realistic now. The last 5 games we have, you just said, 3 on a road.
Right.
Two at home.
That's true.
Yeah.
And you're playing a team twice in a 3-week period.
Yeah.
That's the stupidest scheduling I've ever seen. But, you know, if you go out and you play Tampa and you beat them the first game, you know, I have to believe that their coaching team is going to sit down and say, hey, you know, this is how they beat us. Now we just have to make sure that we don't beat us
make
the same way again. That's
right.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, Arizona's not looking like anything worth poop, but hey. They could be saying the same thing. Hey, we just got to buckle down
and
here.
And we're playing them on the road, and we seem
yeah.
to have been playing
you know?
Different.
And the only team
yeah,
that's really blown us out is Atlanta.
Yeah.
And that's
right.
the last game of the season.
Now, I almost yeah. say this. And maybe
they did that to
defended.
Us in our place. So
they
now
did,
we got to
yeah,
go
they,
there.
There were a lot of things Roman Harper played. I can't remember all the details, but there were some things going into that game. We didn't have Bro. We didn't have Vaccaro. We didn't have
Ellerby.
Ellerby, we
Jenkins. Rankins.
Rankins.
Sorry.
And my point is going into that game, I knew that there was going to be a tough row to hoe with Harper in there, and things just got away from us. So I think it's going to be a much better game this
well,
time.
But I'm just saying to you, you know, look at Atlanta's record. They didn't get there because, you know, they were just playing
tiddlywinks.
Yeah. Poor. Yeah. You know, so. And I've watched a couple of their games. They've been pretty impressive.
Yeah, they have.
And
they,
why they've been playing.
So, they're not unbeatable, but they are playing. They're a solid team.
I right. still think that we're going to go into that final game against Atlanta, and we'll have the opportunity to get 9-7 in that last game. I think that's what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to the Atlanta game. You know, so I'm still projecting 9-7, maybe even 10-6.
Yeah, 12-6 will have to be.
You
know, we have to go undefeated. And I just, man, I just can't see it. We just the mistakes that we're making. We should have won games and we get field goals blocked, and that's not part of the equation when you say
right.
we can win this game. Then all of a sudden you're like, you could have if you wouldn't have gotten a punt blocked.
Now, you know, last night in
touchdown.
The Kansas City-Denver game, they mentioned that.
Right.
When Kansas City was going for the field goal,
yeah.
they were talking about, well, now, you know, Denver's got that play.
Yeah.
Where they, you know,
yeah. And ultimately, he didn't do it at all. He kind of crept up, and,
yeah.
and they didn't actually run that. Yeah.
But I can assure you that people watching, playing against the Saints are all going to do the same. Well, just like we saw with Ingram. On every play that Ingram's carrying a ball, they didn't even bother to tackle him. They're all hooking that ball going, hey, this guy fumbles. We got to pull it out of there, you know?
Yeah.
So they're going to do the same thing. Hey, this kid's coming in here, 22-year-old kicker, no experience really, you know, played Division II Georgia State. Let's put some pressure on him, you know.
Yeah.
So to me, what you have to do is one of those guys jumps across there, you have to have somebody designated.
Yeah.
You say, you know what, we'll take the 15-yard penalty. Just tattoo that sucker.
Yeah, I'll take
you
it.
Know?
I'm going to kick you in nads if you try to jump over me.
Yeah.
So
like the longest yard, you know.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Come
just
in.
Let him come through. What?
Yeah.
So. All right, boys, for – Heath Elson-San and Tomas Mauricio. That was terrible. This is Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.